Well, good evening. Welcome again to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor here, and we're just delighted to have you. It's so good to be in the presence of God, to worship Him together, and if you are a guest with us, I hope that this feels like family really quickly to you. Even if you're in just visiting for the week, we pray that this experience is one that is significant for you, and we're excited that you're here. Well, we are excited about all that God is doing in our city and what He is doing in this valley, and that He invites us to be a part of it. And that goes for you too. That's for us as a church. That's for not just our church, but the churches in the city. We believe that God is about reaching people with His love. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, because there are a lot of people who find themselves in very hopeless situations. You've been there. You felt hopeless, that there is just a brick wall in front of you. There is nowhere to go, that you are absolutely not on the ball with things, but you feel flat underneath the ball. And you can't get things going. Things aren't going your way. People are coming against you. Tragedy is happening around you. And you just feel hopeless. And our world is filled with that. Filled with hopelessness, filled with pain, filled with tragedy. And we need to know, what do we do with that? How does God feel about that? And how do we move through that? And so you've heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours. You felt that? When it rains, it pours. It just keeps coming. It usually comes in waves when these things come against us. And it's a difficult place to be. And so we need to know, what do we do with that? And what is God's heart about it? I was talking with some friends in Life Group this week, and they were telling me this story about how when it rains, it pours. And so things have been difficult on top of just getting through the norms of life. They had been making continual payments on their car, had been faithful to do that. And then somehow the bank that they had taken the loan from for this car reported to their credit agency that they had missed two payments. And they realized it after two had gone by. Their credit agency contacts them, and they're like, well, what are you talking about? We've made all our payments. They go, and luckily they had saved all the paperwork, so they take the paperwork in. But this was a few months ago, and they're still dealing with this situation. So it's their student loans that have come into jeopardy and all these things. They're like, we didn't even do anything to deserve this, but life just feels like it's coming against us. And what do we do about that? And those kind of things, and it just feels, we feel overwhelmed at times. There's practical things in life that happen in that way. My family right now is experiencing, it feels like we are experiencing everything at once. And not so much my immediate family here, but with my parents and grandparents. Within a few days of each other, my grandmother, she's about 85 now, she broke her back. And within a couple of days of that, my aunt also broke her back. They were in the hospital at the same time. And my grandmother was experiencing early signs of dementia. And so she ended up having to be in the hospital for a month. And it just, I mean, she took a nosedive, because just not only was she beginning to have it, beginning to forget some things, but now she was taken out of her home for a month, and she was just getting so confused. Why are these people keep coming into our home, into my room, and it was getting harder and harder. Well, she finally was able to go home from the hospital after a month, and the first day that she was home, my grandfather, her husband, had a stroke. And so the day they got home, they were so excited. He had a stroke, and had the ambulance came. Thankfully, it was a minor stroke, and there was no long-term effects, but it was this big scare. He ended up going to the hospital, having to be there for a few days. He was home a few days later, and that one actually hit me hard. I was with Andy when I got that call, and I became very emotional. So it was just this emotional time in our family. After being home only a week, my grandfather had to go back to the hospital for something with his colon and getting cleaned. So there's just been, my family has just been like, what is going on? Like, all of this within such a short period of time. And how do we deal with that? And you have your own stories. Your family has stories of how do we get through life? How do we deal with the pain and the struggle of life? Because it's part of life. It's going to come. And so whether you've experienced it or not, it's going to happen. And so I want to talk about what God says about it and where we need to hang our hat when it comes to the character of God. Now we can hang our hat on that, on who he is. And let me tell you that God is good. And we don't need to go into a theological study to figure out the character of God, because throughout the pages of the Bible, God is described as good. He is just absolutely good. He is for you. He is for people. His promises are good, and they are for us. And so you need to know that. You need to know that God is good. So you could just stop there for a second and let that sink in, because it's a truth that you're like, okay, yeah, God is good. Or maybe you even grew up in church and you sang about how Jesus loves us and all this kind of stuff. But we really need to know that God is good and that God is for us. That he is for you. He is not against you. He is not putting you in these places to try to make you have to figure something out or struggle harder to find him. God wants to be found by you. He wants to be found by you. And actually, it's better than that. God is pursuing us. Amen. God is absolutely pursuing you. I always think about it like this. And don't mistake this, but as God as being like a seventh grader. But I remember in seventh grade, maybe it was sixth grade, that we first got lockers, and that was just the coolest thing when you first got a locker, and you felt so old. And I remember being really disappointed with where my locker was, and how it was not adjacent to the girl that I wanted it to be adjacent to. And so I was disappointed, but I remember, and it wasn't stalking or anything like that, but I remember that I would take a certain route to my locker to go by hers, and just to see her, maybe to have some kind of interaction, just to be near her or in her presence. I would always go that way just to see if anything might happen, you know. And so that's what I would always do. So again, don't take God in this way, but he is like that with us in his pursuit. He is not coming up and hitting you in the face and saying, hey, you better respond to me right now, or putting you in a headlock or a chokehold and making you do something. But he is pursuing you. He is going out of his way to come by your locker, to come by the place where you live, the place that you do life. God is making a way to be near. Like, hey, I'm here when you need me, or if you want to call on me, I am here to answer you. I'm here to answer you. And you don't have to figure things out first. Your life doesn't have to look a certain way. You don't need to go over here and like, okay, I need to change clothes, or I need to fix up my life, or I need to stop swearing, or I need to do this or that. And so then I can come to God. God says, no, just shut the locker and turn around, and here I am. And that's who God is. That's the way that he loves. And then he will help you get to the place you want to go. He doesn't come in judgment and say, yeah, you need to stop talking like that. You need to stop treating this person like that. That will come, but it will come in love. And it comes because he loves you too much to just let you stay in that place of not treating people well, and then not being treated well in return. And so he takes us to new places because he wants the best for us, because he is good, and because his promises are good, and because he is for us. And so this idea of hopelessness is something that God is absolutely against, because God is hope. We're told in the Bible that he is the God of hope. He is the God of hope. So when you know God, your life should be characterized by abounding hope. And that's what we need to learn about, that tomorrow is good because God is good, and he is not going anywhere, and because he is faithful. I want to read to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's towards the back of your Bible, 2 Corinthians. It's a letter that was written to a church. And so this is the guy that wrote it is Paul. He was one of the leaders in the early church, and he wrote this letter to these guys. And this is what he says. He says, but as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. So he's talking about God's goodness, about the good news of Jesus. And what he's saying is that we're not going back and forth on this thing. God is good and Jesus loves you. And that is that you can believe that. It says in verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So what this is saying is there are some promises that God has for your life. Some of you might be, well, what are those promises? I want to know. The place that you start is in the Bible, because there are promises that God speaks to us that are for all of his children, all those that would come to him. Now, as you begin to walk with God, there are even more specific promises that he has for you, for your life and the specifics of it. And God wants to fill you in on those things. But where we start is that the promises of God are always yes in Christ Jesus. They are always good. You can always bank on that promise. Now, it may not come right when you want it because it doesn't work on our time frame, but it works on God's, and that's for our good. Because sometimes we'll rush into things or we'll wait too long, and it's on God's time that he wants to give us the promises. And he says then the amen, that means the hallelujah or the you got it right. The amen, the thank you, Jesus, is spoken through our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen that your promises are good. Because we need them. Without them, we would be hopeless. And so we depend on the hope that God gives. In verse 21, it says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so God comes to you. It's not only an abstract promise of, okay, yeah, life is supposed to be good or this is supposed to happen, but God comes to you in a very real and personal way to see that promise come to pass. We don't walk alone. It's we walk with God. He wants to come near to you. And you may be saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what it would look like to come near to God, to draw near to him. And the good news is tonight is that we don't really have to figure that out. We just stand before him, or we get on our knees, or if we're really desperate, maybe we just fall flat on our face and we say, God, I've got to have you. Won't you come near to me? And he rushes in. Tonight, we get the opportunity to hear some testimonies from you. And don't get nervous. We've already picked some people to come do that. So you're like, oh, what? Me? I don't want to come up there. We picked some people to do that, and we specifically asked some people that have had the opportunity to go on. We've had two mission trips over this summer. We had a team go to the Middle East and another team that was able to go into Mexico and to Tijuana. And we've asked a few of them to come and just share what God was doing, what God was doing in them, what God was doing through them. And what I want you to hear is they share different testimonies of their own experiences and how God was showing up in their lives. What I want you to hear specifically is how God brought hope, how God pursued these people in these testimonies, in these stories, that God showed up and he pursued people. And so if you're giving a testimony, why don't you come on down? You can sit on the front row so you guys can just come up back to back. But we're going to hear about how God loves people and pursues them. So, Stephen, you come to get us started.
My name's Stephen, for those of you who I haven't met yet. I felt like I should start with an activity. It'll be real brief, but we're going to try something out here. So this is kind of like charades where you make hand gestures, and we're gonna all do what I do, and then you're gonna tell me what we're trying to describe. Okay, if that makes sense, we'll try it. Okay, so follow my hand motions. Okay, what was that? A house. Good job. Okay, next we're gonna do this. Eating. Okay. So you guys could all share the gospel in the Middle East. You're set for it. The story that I'm going to share is from our trip this summer that the training school went on to the Middle East. While we were there, we had the privilege of working with a lot of different types of people from all over the world, but the one that I want to highlight and I felt like I was wanting to share with you is about these Syrian refugees. In the place where we were, there is about one-fifth of the population was Syrian refugees who've fled their homes because of war and political issues. And a lot of them are kids. And so in the area that we were reaching out to and doing dramas and sharing the gospel were a lot of these children, most under the age of like 8. And every day they were just out on the boardwalk all day long with their little pallets, and they were just going around saying, can I shine your shoe? Can I shine your shoe? Can I shine your shoe? And so that was their way of trying to get money for food. And you would talk to them with a translator, and you get to hear part of their story. And most of them didn't have families. Most of them said that my family was killed in the war, and I was able to get to this country, and now I'm just trying to basically stay alive. And so they've all kind of come together as a little community, trying to find hope, you know, and trying to make a way in a tough world. And so that's kind of the background of the adventure that God led me on. So one day, Andy had the idea. He goes, hey, you know what? I think it was Andy. Maybe it was Travis. But they're like, hey, you know what? Today you're going to go out and buy lunch for somebody. And you're going to go out and just buy yours and theirs, and you're going to eat with a random person and whoever you feel like you're supposed to. And then after that, go and get ice cream for you and another person and eat ice cream with them. So we're like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And God's like, hey, Stephen, go down to the boardwalk and find those boys and get as many as you can and just feed them. And so I went down there, Andy was with me, and we just shared our food, and there was like 7 or so kids that came down, and they were just so excited, and it was cool to see the progression during the trip that they went from, give me money, shine my shoe, like, let me shine your shoes, to now they just wanted to be our friend. They just wanted to hang out with us, and we couldn't talk, and so why I had you do that activity was they didn't speak any English, and we didn't speak any Arabic, so we would just sit there and make motions and have no idea what the other person's trying to describe. So if you think like God can't use you, I want you to know there's hope, because we couldn't communicate and God moved in powerful ways. And so the story that I want to share is we went to this place to get ice cream. And as we were walking up, and I was in the front, and there's five of them behind me. And I start to approach the guy who's doing the soft serve. And I'm like, hey, I would like to get, and I turn around, and two of the boys are sprinting down the street away, and two of them are, the manager has in his hands and is lifting them and throwing them. And I was like, what was that? And so immediately God just kind of took over, and I was like, I just went over to him and, you know, kicked him in the face. No, I didn't do that. I'm not a ninja or anything like that. And so I figured that probably wouldn't be the best thing, because he'd probably beat me up. And so I went over to him. I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, these kids are trash. I don't know what they're doing here. They think they can get food here. And I said, actually, they're with me, and I was planning on getting them food. And he's like, okay. Okay, they can come back. And so he was really startled. It kind of started to disarm his notion of what Syrian refugees were. They were believed as less than people. They came back over, and we started to get him ice cream. And the guy giving the ice cream looks over at me and goes, hey, they're terrorists. And I go, no, they're my friends, just like you and I. And he's like, disarmed. You know, his walls just went down. He's like, I don't know how to process that. And so he just stops talking and just keeps serving ice cream. I'm like, okay, whatever. Who, you know, what's going on, God? And I look back over the manager, and he's like sitting there all kind of frustrated, like, you know, these kids shouldn't be getting this. And he goes, hey, you know what? You're wasting your money. These kids aren't worth it. And I was like, okay, God, what do we do here? And he goes, hey, just tell them the truth. And so I was like, you know something? This morning, when I woke up, God said to go buy lunch for somebody and then take him to get ice cream. And he said he wanted to bring ice cream to these boys because he loves them like his kids. And he treasures them and he values them. And he says that they're worth ice cream and spending money on. And so that's why I'm here. And the guy's just taken aback, and he goes, well, yeah, I guess if God tells you to do something, you got to do it. And so now he's excited about them being there, and now he's like, okay, let's get them their ice cream, and let's go. And all the while, the best part about this, all the while is the kids are watching, and they've got to witness us over the week, sharing the gospel over and over. They heard it in Arabic. They heard it. It was going through their minds. They saw the joy in our lives. Now we're feeding them, expressing generosity. And it was cool just to be God's heart and his hands and his feet to these boys and just extending his unconditional love, saying, I don't care what your backstory is. I don't care what family you come from, how little you have. It's enough for me. Come and let me bless you. And so it was really sweet just getting to be Jesus to these boys. And afterward, we got to pray for the company that was serving the ice cream, prayed over all the employees. And it was also, I think that was a cool point for these boys to say, hey, even those who hate us, even those who persecute us, Jesus loves them as well. So that's my story.
I don't need to be up here. I'm tall enough. All right. So I'm William. I was on the same trip as Stephen, and this is actually from the exact same day. So I don't know if he forgot this detail or if Travis only said it to me, but I remember on that day being told you have to buy lunch for someone wearing the same color shirt as you. Maybe that was just Travis like kicking me to, you know, come on, man. Wouldn't be the first time. So anyways, so I buy like two things of shawarma. That's another story. That is the same thing as like manna from heaven. Anyways, so I buy two things of shawarma, and I don't know where to go. And everybody with a blue shirt has suddenly left the planet. And so I go onto the university campus near where we were staying, and I see someone with blue, and I like hand it to them. I'm like, "Do you want this?" And they're like, "Sure." And we eat, and I start to talk, and they're like, "Actually, I got to run. Bye." And they just take the shawarma and the jet. I'm like, well, all right, next blue shirt. And but no shawarma this time, either that or I'm fasting today. Clearly that's not happening. So I'm looking around, and I'm looking around, and I see this park bench. Like, it's just, the school's like on a cliff, and it overlooks the ocean. And there's one solo dude in a dark-ish color shirt on the bench. And I'm like, that's my man. So I start walking, and I'm like pretty this close to me and Travis, behind him, so he doesn't know I'm behind him looking. And I notice, like, I have a problem with this in the morning when I just grab a shirt. I'm like, that's blue. And I come out into the daylight, and it's black. I'm like, dang it. Same deal. I get there. I'm like, oh, shoot, it's black, and I'm wearing blue. Spiritual authority, like, just freaking out. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And I feel like he said, if you don't tell Travis, I won't. I was like, okay. And now I just did it. So anyways, thus says the Lord. So I go up to him and didn't even think it through. Just get in front of him. I'm like, hi, I want to make friends and I need to eat my shawarma somewhere. Can I sit here? And he's like, sure. So if you feel like Steven said, if you feel like, oh, I don't know how to start conversation with people, like, find somewhere to eat your shawarma. Like, so I sit with him, and we get to talking, and he shares with me all that he's doing, and he's taking finals and stuff. And I'm like, that's great. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm actually a Christian. I love Jesus, and I'm just on a traveling trip right now just to meet other people of different cultures and share Jesus with them. He's like, that's great. I have finals. I have to go. I'm like, okay. And then he goes, but here's my name, or my number, rather. I'd love maybe sometime we could hang out before you leave. I'm like, oh, okay. So about a week later, he texts me, and he says, I'd love to hang out if you haven't left yet. I said, sure. And I thought he lived on campus. So I was like, sure, we'll meet at the Starbucks. They're everywhere. Praise God. We'll meet at the Starbucks next to the campus. And how does an hour from now sound? And he's like, sure, I'll be there. So I get there, and he's like 5 minutes late, and he runs in, and he's like panting. And he's like, I'm so sorry I'm late. And I'm like, no worries, bro. It's Starbucks. I could be here forever. And he's like, sorry, I took a taxi, and then I did a bus, and something, something. And I'm like, you live 2 minutes from here. He's like, no, I don't. I live an hour away. And I'm like, oops, I would have met somewhere else if I had known that. But like right away, that was like my first thing of like, this guy just bussed and taxied an hour to come have coffee with me. What are you doing here, Lord? So one of the things that like our main, like what we were trying to do other than just share the name and the testimony of who Jesus is we were wanting to get people to read the Bible while we were there. Because it's just kind of a daunting thing, even in this country where it's totally free and in every bookstore and Walmart for that matter. Like, but overseas, in like the Middle East, like they are a little harder to come by, and a little more daunting to say the least. So we had Bibles in Arabic, and basically we got to talking, and I said, you know, you asked me about my faith, and one of the things that like I love doing every day is reading the Bible. Because I believe that's how God can talk to us. I believe that it shows us how to live our lives and it brings us closer to God. And I remember that you said you want to be closer to God, because this man was like Mr. Islam himself. Like he has memorized half the Quran. Like he's just so into the religion. And he said, I'll do anything to get closer to God. I'm like, anything, great. So here's a way to get closer to God. I said, this is how I get closer to God. Let me show you how I do it. And I just gave him an Arabic Bible. And so we started reading through like Genesis 1. So again, if you're like, I don't know where to start in the Bible, Genesis 1 works, first page. And we read through like the whole creation story. And it's funny because he starts reading it in Arabic. So I'm just like, you know, hearing like songs in my head and just waiting. And suddenly he's like, he pauses. I'm like, mm-hmm, keep going. And like, I don't know what he's reading. And finally, it gets to this point where he starts going, oh, mind blown. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, sorry. And he keeps reading, mind blown. I'm like, what? And he goes, all these stories are in the Quran, but there's more detail here, and it makes more sense here. I'm like, oh, I'll be darned. I didn't know that. Like, that's great. Let's keep reading. And as we keep reading, the way we were teaching people to read the Bible, we'd ask them questions when they were done. So like, what does this passage say in your own words? Like, if you can't just sum up what you just read, you need to read it again because clearly you don't know what you just read. So like, I had him say it in his own words, and it was pretty great. And then I said, what does this passage show us about God? And actually, I think we were in Genesis chapter 2. But anyways, it was about the fall of Adam and Eve, and God coming into the garden and saying like, Adam, you know, where are you? And he goes, you know, it's interesting what I notice here about God. God is God. He knows everything. I'm like, okay, go on. Because, like, we're supposed to be a coach. We're not supposed to be teaching. We let the Holy Spirit teach. I'm like, okay, great point. Go on. And he goes, why would God say to Adam, where are you? And he goes, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, a dad walking into a house, seeing crayon all over the wall, and his two-year-old is holding a Crayola purple, you know, and he goes and says, do you know how this got there? He goes, a dad wouldn't ask that because he's stupid. A dad would ask that because he loves his son and wants to give his son an opportunity to, like, come clean. And, like, there's this whole, like, teaching called the Father Heart of God that helps you understand who God is and relate to him as a father. And that's, like, Christianity, like, 401. Like, and this guy just got it on, like, day one. Like, we haven't mentioned Jesus yet, and he's already delving into the Father Heart of God. He goes, that's just interesting that God's like a dad. I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, so anyways, we ended up doing, like, a couple more Bible studies while we were there. And the reason I shared this was really, it was twofold. The first was, sharing your faith is honestly really easy. 95% of it's in your head. And once you get it out of your head, the 5% really just falls into place. The Bible clearly says there is a harvest ready for picking. Pray to God to send more laborers. It doesn't say there's no harvest. Pray to God to make people want Jesus. People want Jesus everywhere. They just need someone to come and meet them, eat shawarma next to them, and do a Bible study. So that's what I want to share. And then also just that his hunger level, like, I didn't teach him a darn thing. The Holy Spirit came in and did it. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's the teacher. So just to, like, encourage you guys with that story, as long as you're willing to use your mouth and use your hands, God really will take care of the rest. And it's exciting, and it gives you courage to do it more often. So.
I'm Christina. I had the opportunity to go to Mexico on July 4th weekend, And it was just an awesome opportunity. I just wanted to share a story about our last day when we were doing ministry on the beach. We were able to do it twice around. We were doing a drama, a dance, and then sharing testimonies and sharing the gospel. And then going around and talking to people, asking how we could pray for them and where they were at with the Lord. And people know God in Mexico, so it was interesting. They already had the pathway set out for them, and so we were just kind of there to meet them and see what was going on and just kind of meet them where they were at. And so after we had done, I think, our second performance that day, I met a little girl named Ashley, and she was about seven to nine, and I went up and started talking to her and her mom and asked if we could pray for her, and she was very shy. She was very timid. She didn't want, I don't know if she was hesitant or just shy, but anyway, got to pray for her, and so I said, okay, well, I'll be around here if you want to, you know, hang out. And I was trying to talk in my broken Spanish, and so anyway, I keep going on talking to other people and praying with other people, and all of a sudden she just comes up behind me. And so for the next 2-3 hours she just kind of followed me throughout the whole day, and just as she was watching what we were doing and how we were praying, I would open or peek through one eye, and I would see her with her head bowed, and she was like, you know, laying her hands on people and praying for people, or just kind of like watching what we were doing. And I could tell that she was taking it all in. She had this smile on her face, and she was just so curious, bright-eyed, and we became really good friends. Even though we weren't really talking, she was just there and just was taking it all in. And so I just remembered how when I was that age, or even a little bit older, as I got to see people who were, you know, role models for me, I was able to remember, like, they're going to remember that, or she's going to remember that, probably, hopefully, for the rest of her life. And as she comes to know God, because I know that she will if she doesn't already, because he's already started that process with her, that she's going to remember that and going to be able to model that as well. So I just wanted to share that, and yeah, I hope it encourages you.
Hi, guys. My name's Jordan, and I got the opportunity to go to Mexico as well. And so I just wanted to share with you, mine's a little bit different. Mine's more of personal revelation that God gave me on this trip. And so as we were out in Mexico, we began to share the gospel. And while we were sharing the gospel, immediately I got extremely discouraged because everybody in our group, apart from maybe one or two people, spoke Spanish, and I didn't. So I only understood maybe taco or burrito, and that was about it. So I was very discouraged. And so that night, I went to some community members, and I talked to them about it and the way that I was feeling. And just through that process alone, God really taught me that it's okay for us not to be okay, and that sometimes, like, taking a moment and being vulnerable can actually set us up for a lifetime of freedom. And so in that moment of being vulnerable, it did. It set me free for the rest of the trip. And so the next day, I spent time with Jesus, and as I was spending time with him, I just laid it all out there. I was like, God, I don't understand. I feel inadequate. I feel unworthy. I don't feel like, I don't understand what my purpose is in being here, and I just didn't understand. And it was just in that moment that God really humbled me. He said, Jordan, listen to what you're saying. Everything that I said was about me, me, me. And I didn't come here for me. I came here for these people. And so God just broke me in that moment and helped me to realize that I wasn't submitting to his will. I was submitting to my own will. And so I repented and I submitted to his will. And that day I said, use me however you see best fit. And so as we went out, we went to an orphanage, and this little boy brought out a soccer ball. And for those of you that don't know, I've played soccer all my life until my junior year, and I stopped because of an injury. And so while we were there, he was playing soccer, and it all came together, and I realized what my purpose was. And it was simply to love. And love doesn't have a label. Love doesn't have to be spoken in Spanish. Love doesn't have to be spoken in English. And God can even use a sport as a way for us to express love. And he did just that. In that moment, he took my true passion and the passion of these kids, and he created his own love language for me to connect with these people and to go to deep places. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, and that for any of you guys that are struggling and that feel like you're hopeless, and that all the promises that God's called you to, you haven't seen them yet, don't give up, because oftentimes it's just around the corner, and Satan wants nothing more than to keep you from being able to obtain those things. So continue to press in and continue to trust in God, because he is good and he is faithful, and he did just that for me. So thank you.
Well, hello, my name is Brock Farrell. I guess I get to wrap this thing up here. I, too, got to go to Tijuana, Mexico. And you want to talk about God pursuing people. We did this drama at the beach. Again, my story comes from the last day. Well, it kind of started with I was a part of the drama, but my part was like a small part on the side. And like the other dude wearing a white shirt, I was wearing a black shirt. And this guy was wearing a white shirt. He's like supposed to be the guy that Jesus rescues. He wasn't there because he was out inviting other people to come to the drama that he was in. But he was like 10 minutes late. So, like, literally, the dance is going on. And we're like, where's the dude? Where is he? And we're like, I don't know. So I said, I'll do it. Sure. You know, and John looks at me and he goes, do you know what you're doing? I'm like, yeah, you know, Adam makes me, gives me a hug. I get tied up, thrown on the ground, roll over, give him a hug again. We're all good to go, right? That's like a really bad summary of what happened. And they're like, okay, sounds good. So literally I like put a white shirt on over my black shirt. And the other guy who was doing the other part stepped in. So literally with no practice and kind of seeing it three times, everybody else basically coached me through what was going on. So anyway, the point is I was very ill-prepared, but it didn't matter because God is a really big God who can take really unprepared people and do amazing things. Okay, so we like struggle through the drama. It works out because it doesn't matter. It's all about Jesus and life. Woo, here we go. Okay, so at the end they say, if anybody wants prayer, you know, come forward. Well, so I'm looking around. I see this elderly couple, and they didn't come forward, but they're sitting there. I'm like, hi, how you doing? My name's Brock. And they go, and I'm like, how can I pray with you? We're like, we're good, but my son wants prayer. He's in the front. I'm like, dude, somebody came forward? That's awesome. So I go and I talk to him. His name's Andy. So I talk with Andy. I'm like, hey, Andy, you know, you said you wanted prayer. What can I do for you? And he's like, I want Jesus. I'm like, what? Okay, so you know, like, slow pitch softball? Yeah, this is like with a beach ball. It's like, here, hit a home run. Easy, you know? Okay, so I get talking to him, and he says that he's recently gotten out of prison, and in prison, somebody worked really, really hard in some sort of prison ministry and introduced him to who Jesus was and got him to read the Bible. Okay, so I got to be the trigger man for somebody's years of hard work, and it was a blessing. Okay, so that was the first thing. You know, God found this guy in prison. He broke the law. Talk about hopeless. Okay, found him in prison. Well, a week before he was in Tijuana, he was in San Diego, and he was down at, like, Mission Bay, and a group from All People's Church, which is the Antioch Church in San Diego, came and found him. And like some girl was like, hey, we're from All People's Church. God loves you. And he's like, dude, I know. I would talk about him in prison. But he wasn't quite ready. But then he saw the drama, and then we were there, and I got to pull the trigger, and he's like, you know, I want Jesus. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let me ask you a few questions. You know, do you believe that, you know, Jesus died and rose from the dead literally? And he's like, I want to. I said, that counts. And I'm like, you know, you just got to ask for forgiveness. It's like, the prayer's not special. Just kind of repeat what I say. The words don't matter. God knows your heart. And so let's pray. So we prayed. He repeated after me. His girlfriend did the same thing. And I'm like, that's it, man. You're in. And so he looks at me and he goes, that's it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. You're in. It's good. And he just leans back. He puts his hands in the air and he goes, yeah! In the middle of the beach in Tijuana. And so you saw this guy who was months ago in prison, hopeless, filled with the life and the love and the joy that can only come through Jesus. And I was blessed to be a part of it. So thank you.
Isn't that good? Amen. Thank you, God. And there's nothing like a football coach to give a good yell like that. That was awesome. So God is at work. And it is so cool to hear these stories of how God pursues people. He pursues people. And one of the fun things is, as we heard today, is that he wants to use us to be a part of that story, of the story of God revealing his love to men and women. And so we get to be a part of that. And I just want to share this one last thing from Isaiah 43. God says this to his people: "Do not be afraid, for I have summoned you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You are mine." And so that's where we end today, is just knowing that God, that's what God thinks about you, that you are his, and he wants you to know him. So let's pray together. God, you're so good. And we thank you for these stories that just demonstrate and show how amazing your love is, how you pursue people all over the world, to the ends of the earth. God, people in poverty, in an orphanage, without family, people that have fled war, even people that from our own church that have gone, that God, you just show up and reveal yourself. And so we're just asking you, as we close tonight and finish things up, we're asking God that you would reveal yourself now. Lord, I believe that you are here with us. God, and really there's no point for us even gathering here if you're not. But in your presence, God, as you're here with us, you want to bring change. You want to bring life. You want to give hope. And so we're just asking that you would do that tonight, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.